take you away to the region within our soul. Let also be still, my soul. I know that He is the answer. Hallelujah. Oh, we bring a cup of comfort. Bring ministry of comfort this morning to Zion. Say, Zion, hear the word of God. Amen. Lord, you said we should speak only to Zion. Say unto Zion, Lord, we bring the word of God. We say, comfort ye Zion. Lord, we bring that ministry of comfort to Zion. Hallelujah. Let this river flow to every quarter of Zion. Let there be a visitation of comfort. We speak to the raging sea. We speak to the troubled mind. We speak the word of the King. The let there be peace. Peace is King. In the name of Jesus. God said, make the men to sit down. Lord, we bring every category of what we can sit down.
Hallelujah.
Sit down. The Lord said to my Lord, sit down. At my right hand. Until I make that enemies. Lord, we look forward to that time. The wisdom that went up the enemies of our soul. We'll be made subject. Lord, you say you will bring your feet. And you will plant it upon the neck. Of these ones. Those that rose up against us, you have subdued on them. And we shall destroy them. We shall triumph over them. Blessed be the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen. There's a lot of sweetness in the air. There was a word that I received just before we traveled to Moscow last week. Well, it came before that time. And as I just came this morning, I had a quickening to bring that word. But first, in 2012,
when I was in Europe, we were going for the German conference.
And I had a very strong witness about the Islamic invasion of Europe. And, you know, so, I share with the brethren. And, you know, coming back this last week, I mean, if you have been in the papers, you know what's going on. That Europe is under, there's a crisis. And the crisis is a crisis that they have sown. Because you have migrants from Syria, from Libya, from Pakistan, and all over. And all these Pan people are Muslims. And among them are ISIS people, Boko Haram, everybody's inside. And right now, they are flooding the whole of Europe. So for those who are watching, we're not surprised, because we know it's something that has to be. But it is something for us to also see and look inward, because a brother said yesterday that there's going to be trouble, so you need to read your Bible very, very well. Amen. You know, so it's not just in Europe, in Africa, in Nigeria. A sister in this fellowship said she had a vision, or I don't know if it's a dream, And the word she heard was that there is trouble brewing in Nigeria, and that if we are not very careful, war might break out. That is this one for Nigeria. We are talking about Congo, you know, and the same thing. So everywhere, the whole world, something is brewing. You know, so we must be in a place where we must be properly aligned, and we must be doing the right thing, and that is to prepare ourselves. Today we are studying about faith, how to really position ourselves strongly, so that we can be a people of faith. Because take it or leave it, trouble is coming. Everywhere. But we're not just looking at that, we're looking at the scripture. And the scripture that was given to me is Ezekiel chapter 8 and 9. Ezekiel chapter 8 and 9. So I would like you to go, when you go and look at it, go home. Please take time and look at it. When you look at Ezekiel chapter 8 and 9, you have to read it with Revelation chapter 7, the first few verses. Well, actually the whole chapter. So we're speaking of end time events. The church in the end time, what God is doing in the world in the end time. And as we look at it, you have to take it together also with Daniel chapter 9, 24, that speaks about the holy city and the things that are determined, the 70 weeks that Daniel, of the vision that he saw. And he said that in the, you know, the 70 weeks, the last week, Jesus came at the beginning of the 70th week of Daniel in that prophetic application. And when we read weeks, we know it's not physical weeks, it's a prophetic time. Therefore it belongs to God. Nobody can know the beginning or the end. We only know it's a prophetic time. And in the middle of that week, the sacrifices, and Jesus was exactly 3.5 years in ministry by the time the ministry was cut off, and if you add it to his year, so they will say it was 32 and then and half, you know, so because he began that ministry at the end of his 29th year. So when you put all the prophetic things together, God is very much in control. So we, the people of God, we must receive the mind of God and then respond accordingly, because there must be a people coming forth also. As we see the trouble coming upon the earth, in the midst of the trouble, a people are coming forth. Because it has been in history and in Bible that the time the church is awake is the time of trouble. So there's a time of trouble that is coming upon the world, and you will be best advised to wake up, because the Bible says, "Woe to him that is at ease in Zion." Are you at ease in Zion? What ought you to be doing in Zion? Now let's go to Ezekiel. Ezekiel shows the picture of those who are at ease. It begins with ease, familiarity, and he says the elders, you can paraphrase it, the people of God, they came before God and sat down. Amen. But I don't want to take time, because I'm just timing myself for just 1 hour. But it says the sixth year, sixth month, fifth day. It's very prophetic. Okay. 6, we know what it means. It's the number of man created on the 6th day. 6 months is an emphasis on that. But 5, for me, speaks of the an altar. There's an altar in the tabernacle that has a measure of 5 by 5 by 3, and that is the brazen altar. Okay, so brazen altar has, it's a square, 5 feet long, 5 feet in breadth, but the height is 3. So in my understanding, as we come before God, you know, God will comfort us, He will bless us, and just like we read today, you know, Bible says, when riches increase, do not set your heart upon them. So it's possible that when a man looks, you know, his surroundings, at the fellowship, at the things you are doing, it may all look rosy. But you see, we need to look the way God looks. There are two men that stand before God, the outward man and the inner man. Now, one of the first signs of resurrection is when you begin to be aware of the activity of the inner man, of your soul. Your soul is as active as your body. It's more real than your body. For a natural man, he is oblivious about the activities of his spiritual man. Okay? If somebody wants to get married, you are looking at the young girl, young boy, is fine and beautiful. That is carnal. If you are spiritual, you will be looking for the spiritual activity. What is God saying in the spirit? What is God saying to you? If God has spoken a word to you, other people in the spirit will hear it. Therefore, there will be a witness in the body. Therefore, the sister herself should have heard. If she has not heard, you will be praying so that she will hear. Because in the spirit, there is a lot of noise, a lot of voices speaking. Amen. So a natural man is only looking at the natural things, and we are living in a very natural world. However, there are a people rising up who are becoming more aware of their inner man and less aware of the outward man. And Paul said, though the outward man perish, that the inward man is becoming. So we are in a time of transition. The world is going to nothing. You look at around, everything is decaying. There's death all over the place. But that's looking at the wrong place. If you look inward, you will see that when Jerusalem is surrounded, what does it say? Lift up your head. Who is the man lifting up himself? Is that inward man lifting up himself? Because he knows that there is something that's happening. So God looks at the inward man. And God speaks to the inward man. Amen. So these people came before God, and God was not looking at the natural, as men look. And I will encourage you not to look as men look. Look as God looks. Because as they sat down there, God opened the eyes of one of them. Who was that? Ezekiel. And He took him in the spirit and began to show him things. So we are being taught to look in the spirit. Don't always look at the things natural. Because there is a natural man and then there is the spiritual man. Which man are you? What dominates you? Some people came to Jesus, they asked him, who are you? At another time they asked them, who do men say that I am? So if God was to ask you a question, who are you? What would you define yourself? Is it by the outward man? Is it by... The Bible says a man's life does not consist what? In the abundance of the things he possesses. The activities of the outward man. But he said, when you boast that you are rich toward God. So what is the activity? What is your boast? What is your confidence? Is it in the outward man or of the inward man? And if God helps us, we'll be able to examine this man, the activity of this outward man. and the activity or the life of the inward man. Let's look at the scripture that will draw a little bit of contrast for us. Let's look at Psalm 119, verse 103. Let me see. 119:103. It says, the man says, "How sweet are thy words to my taste. Yeah, sweeter than honey to my mouth." Okay, you can read it and pass by, but if you stop by, as I will encourage you to do, then you begin to look at it, you begin to dissect that word. Which mouth is it speaking of? Which taste is it speaking of? The scripture is saying, "He that made the eyes, does he not see? And he that made the ears, does he not hear?" So Paul was praying about the opening of the eyes of understanding. So when the Bible talks about mouth and taste, obviously this word that is sweet is not speaking about the natural man, because naturally you do not eat natural words. So it's speaking of an activity, speaking of something, a place where there is a change in appetite, a change in activity, a change in what affects us and what does not affect us. Let's go to Proverbs 24, verse 13. "Say, my son." You know, who is the son? In the Bible, when he talks about son, he's speaking to the inner man. This son can be foolish, that means he's void of understanding, or he may be matured, gray-haired, because he's full of wisdom. Amen. Hallelujah. And in Christ, he said, "There's neither male or female." So, son is speaking about our calling to be sons of God. And he said, "My son, eat thou honey because it is good, and honeycomb because it is sweet to thy taste." If you can read verse 14 together with me, just read quietly. "So shall the knowledge of wisdom be unto thy soul." Amen. He's saying, my soul can come to a place in God where the excitement it has is from wisdom, is from the knowledge of God. Amen. You know, so what is in view here is speaking about the different generations or dispensations of sons or of men. And you know, according to the Bible, that there are two types of men: the first Adam and the second Adam. A brother was sharing the scripture. You know, in Matthew chapter 1, it gives us the generation. It begins the generation and numbers it, and tells us that there are three main generations: the first 14 generation, the second 14 generation, and then the last generation. The last generation is the 42nd generation, and it is the generation of Christ. Amen.
Amen.
And the generation of Christ, it can also be broken down to two: the head and the body. I believe it or not, what has happened to the head, God wants to happen to the body. Amen.
Amen.
Believe it or not, Jesus was a man like you and me. Amen. But he is called the Christ. And as he, Jesus, a vessel, was inhabited by the Spirit of Christ in fullness, that made him the head. The same Spirit of Christ wants to dwell in us so that we will be like him. Amen. That is the doctrine of Christ. And you know, brethren, God will always raise the standard. You and I can lower it and say, no, let's, you know, that's your choice. But remember, where a tree falls, there it will lie. And that in the resurrection, one star differs from another star in glory. So you determine where you are going to end up. But the witness of God is clear, that God gives you the full measure. It tells you where you are going to go. You determine what kind of son you will be. Amen. There are different vessels in the house of God. Some of earth, some of wood, some of silver, some of gold. Amen. So where do you want to end up? So the Bible is speaking about the generation of Jesus Christ. And Jesus was that. It says that Jesus came and afterward Christ. Amen. Jesus is not the end of the story. He came that he might bring forth many brethren unto glory. So the second Adam is different from the last Adam. I don't know if you heard me. The second Adam is different from the last Adam. The last Adam is still in coma. He doesn't understand what is happening to him. But I pray God will wake us up to know that there is a generation, and that is what we are called to. So he's saying, my son, eat that honey because it is good. We are called to sonship. And those who come up to sonship must have their appetite changed. Amen. You know, so the soul, my soul that has the emotions and the mind and so on, must transit, must be moving forward. From a natural soul, what you call a dead soul, the dead natural man, who doesn't know God, all the senses are shut down. He feeds by the natural. He's a man ruled by the natural situations. But there is another son, there's another man who is not moved by the circumstances. He is to that man that he speaks. He says, so shall the knowledge of wisdom be unto the soul. Amen. Alright, so let's go back to Ezekiel. So the sons of men are gathered like we are gathered today. But what is God speaking to? He's speaking to the inward man. He took him and he went. Where did he take him to? Verse 3, so he took me by the lock of my head, and the spirit lifted me up between the earth and the heaven, and brought me in the visions of God. Where? To Jerusalem. To the door of the inner gate that looked toward the north, where was the seat of the image of jealousy, which provoked to jealousy. But go back. The good news, 8:4, Ezekiel 8:4, is the encouraging part, and that's the comfort we're receiving this morning. He says, and behold, the glory of God of Israel was there. Amen. The glory of God is there to come in. The glory of God is coming into the temple, brethren. I don't know if you are hearing what I'm hearing, if you are seeing what is being shown, because this temple is not the physical temple of Jerusalem, but it is the temple of you. Amen.
Amen.
We understand that we are the temple. And we understand that the glory of God is come to you, is come to me. Amen. Hallelujah. But there is a context. There is an image of jealousy at the entrance. So the image is a hindrance to the glory coming in. Amen. Verse 5, it says, then he said unto me, Son of man, lift up thy eyes now towards the north. And I lifted up my eyes towards the north, and behold, northward, at the gates of the altar, this image of jealousy in the entry. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
He's speaking about the glory of God coming in. Many of us are crying and desiring to see God's glory. And when you read Ezekiel, you know the glory of God came and lifted and went. Amen.
Amen.
Historically, there are people who have come to where we are, even gone beyond us, and the glory lifted and went away. My wife and I went to one church. I don't know if I should mention. The name starts with M. And there, they were making light. And in among the knights was somebody I know very well, who should never be a knight. And I started crying. But as I sat down in the car, God began to speak to me. Why are you crying? It can happen to you. Because the Methodist Church, when you read the Psalms, when you read the hymns in ancient and modern, the men who wrote that life, that wrote those things, were the people that, in fact, through whom they formed the Methodist Church, John Wesley and Charles Wesley. But many years down the line, they are given light. Amen. So the glory of God can come to you and turn back. I don't know if somebody is hearing me. You know, somebody says, I have the birthright of the glory of God. Well, that's what the Jews, those who are the elders, there's a book I'm reading right now, about the Jews and so on. Today, they still, God is their God, but they don't know Jesus, they don't care about Jesus. You know, so see, we can become such a people, and I pray that I don't become such a people. And I pray that we don't become such a people. That say, you know, Jeremiah says, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord are these. And they say, come and see. He says, these ones, forget it. I'm looking down the road. In fact, he could see the future and saw that the whole temple was leveled down. But the man was there jumping around the temple, showing him beautiful stones and so on. So, how about you as the temple of God? As you sit down before God, what is God seeing? Because God is looking to the inward man. God is looking in the spirit. And if you know what the scripture says, what the Bible says, the mind is the entry into the temple, is the entry into the tabernacle. Alright, so if you take this, so this is the mind, and that is the entrance. And he's telling you that there is a blockage in the mind. There is an image. Which part of you that is, where is it that you have images? It's in the mind. There are images in the mind. Amen. And the message is very simple. Isaac was saying it today. He talked about pictures. And for men are attracted by what they see. The women are attracted by what they feel. But all the same, as human beings, the power of the vision of the mind is the dominant part of you. What you see, what you visualize. And there's a scripture in 2 Corinthians 10 that says that there are imaginations, that there are thoughts that are very high, that are not subject to God. So would you not think that if God was going to measure his success, his ability, that is measure the harvest of what he is doing in you, that God will measure it against how much these altars, these images have been subdued. Do you not think that that would be a measure, a proper measurement? Do you not think it would be a proper measurement? Isaiah and Ezekiel, when you read them, they say a man takes wood and he carves on it and he calls him his God. The problem is not the wood. The thing came from the mind. Amen. So there are images in the mind. The mind is a house of images. And the message is very clear. If the mind is blocked by images, impressions, pictures, he said the glory of God cannot come in. Yes. Amen. Amen. I thought someone would say amen.
Amen.
Okay. I'm thinking of many scriptures. And the scripture that comes to me is the scripture of John the Baptist. It says, behold the messenger of the Lord. He cries. What does he say? Make a way. Make a highway, make a straight path. Make a highway for our God. What does he say will happen? He said all the high places, all the hills will be made low. All the valleys will be filled up. All the crooked places will be made straight. So that what will happen? The glory of the Lord may come in. Amen. So we need to take a hard look at ourselves. What are the images? What are the altars that are in the mind that have not been thrown down? Because we know, even according to Bible history, that there were certain kings that came, God lined them up. Okay, and their success, it shows you how God measures his own success. Their success was according to their ability to put down the high place, is it not? Those who put down the high place were put on one side. And those who didn't put down the high place were put on the other side. And you know the popular side? The popular side was there were many more people who didn't even care about the high place. And there were very few. We can count them. Josiah, maybe Hezekiah, and not many more after. Probably about two or three. All the other kings, they all came, enjoyed being the king, and didn't do anything about the high place. But I'm not concerned about them, I'm concerned about myself. What am I doing about the high places? And he says, these high places are in the mind. They're in the mind. Praise God. Let's read down. So that's not where I was. Now he says, and he brought me to the door of the court, and I looked, and behold, a hole in the wall. Amen. The wall speaks of my nature. Alright, that's what the wall, that wall speaks of a nature, self. And he said, there's a hole in it. What did he say to him? He said, son of man, what should you do? Dig now in the wall. And when I had digged in the wall, behold what? A door. Hallelujah. I thought you say amen.
Amen.
You know, sometimes God shows you the hole. And sometimes we don't dig further. Amen. I have an uncontrollable desire. I have an uncontrollable emotion or something in my mind, something in my will. And sometimes we try to cover it up. I say, we are the righteousness in God in Christ Jesus. God is saying, no, dig in the wall. Amen.
Amen.
If we dig in the wall, we will see something there. We will see a door. We will see an opening. I know, brethren, where we are, you know, the brother was saying, you must read your Bible very well. Because I'm trying to really, as much as possible, break it down. You must read your Bible very well because there is trouble. Do you go to war with a door in you? Because the devil will see the door. I'm not saying, well, let me use a different thought. If a man is planning warfare, you will be looking for the weakness in the man. Alright, that's what you go to attack. The other they say they caught, they arrested the fish and food of Boko Haram. Yes. If the Boko Haram man doesn't eat, he won't be strong to fight. So when you go to war, you cut off the supply lines. So if your supply lines are weak, you cut it off, you die. You have all the best weapons, so there is no food for you. And so it's a way of you know, just cutting you off. So trouble is coming, and there's a prophetic word coming to us. Dig in the hole. Amen. And how do you get such a sign when you suddenly see a character jump up when you have finished a 5-day fast? Just as you fast, maybe sometimes when you are starting the fast, the thing comes up. Somebody is smiling, and maybe when you are just finishing the fast, 5 days of waving hand, then the hole comes up. God is telling you, dig in the wall. They sometimes say, no, you can be in self-denial, I can confess all the confessables, but the prophetic word is saying what? Dig in the wall. Probe the nature. It's called atonement. And that is where the Pentecostal church doesn't want to come. And that is where it is appearing that so-called end-time people, we don't want to go. We don't want to probe in the world. We don't want to touch the nature. Amen. It's not very palatable. How do you want to begin to dig in the world? But that's where there is deliverance. Look now. And verse 10, so I went in and saw. What did he see? Look. Behold, every form of what? Creeping things. In the church. In me, the temple of God. Holy brother. Holy brother needs to know that there are creeping things. Amen. By the way, the creeping things, they speak of the desires. The desires of man are falling. They are on the ground. They are bound to the ground. That everybody draws their energy and strength from the earth, from carnal activity. And it's very easy. Man speaks to man. That's how you know the carnal energy. You know what man has said, one man, what brother has said to another one, what your friend said to you, what they didn't say, the things written, social media. All those ones are lower energy. I don't put in a bar and say, don't do it. If there is a choice. But I know that there is higher energy. It is the Vatican. That is the faith we are talking about. If your focus is on God, you will find a depth and a height. Hallelujah. Amen. If you want to rise in God, then you must remove your focus from horizontal things. Man to man. The mind of man to the mind of man can never produce anything. The only thing that can make a difference is what? Is when you begin to say, when you begin to lift up my eyes to the hills, then you receive the life of God. Because words are vehicles. The word that's speaking to you is now a vessel. That vessel carries life or death, or is empty. So that will speak about empty words. Haven't you heard it before? A man is speaking, but there is no life in the words he's speaking. Just like wind. Yeah? Wind comes, the wind may be dry, has no water in it. The wind may come, a lot of water and storm. It's the wind. I remember the words we speak are like wind. They're just vessels. So, within your soul, within your inner mind, you must determine what you will go for. Are you going to go for empty words of men, philosophies, news, history? Fine. You get it, but it's all empty. And you know what? It will weary your soul. Solomon said, much knowledge does what? It's a weariness to the soul. Amen. I thought you would say amen.
Amen.
I want to know the food that Beyonce ate this morning. I want to know the food that Buhari ate. What the daughter is wearing. Well, praise God. But I want to know the garment that is should be upon the high priest.
Amen.
Amen. Because the inward man has the clothes. I hope you know. As the outward man is clothed, so also the inward man is clothed. The inward man clothes himself with either light or darkness. So the more light you receive, the more you are clothed. I remember, he said there's a church coming. He showed him a vision of church, a moon church. Another woman that was clothed with the sun. Amen. I want to speak to that woman. Amen. And I cannot be clothed with that glory if I'm not feeding upon the light that's coming. So I'm speaking about the change in appetite. God is speaking about it. So he said there are creeping things, there are abominable beasts, and what? Idols. Where was it? Portrayed upon the wall round about. Amen. So when you begin to walk with God, you will see that God begins to dig into the nature. So do we have an example? Yes. Look at Abraham. Genesis chapter 12. Where did God finish with Abraham? Genesis chapter what? Maybe 20 something, you know, 30 something. By the time God finished with Adam, finished with Abraham, God had dealt with so many things. Alright? If Abraham slew himself, because God said, you are a son that you love. So what was in context there was his emotions. God said, that son that I gave to you, that you love, take it and give to me. Amen. God, you know, so God walk with him. So if you are walking with God, the wall, God will be breaking open the wall. He'll be judging the thoughts of your heart, the workings of your emotion, your desire. You know, but at the end of the journey, you will be a slain man. Abraham was a slain man at the end. He's not the only one. There's another one called Jacob, isn't it? When he started, he was a prince, a strong man, running all over the place. By the time they finished with him, he began to limp. A man who walks with God is a man that is under examination. Somebody hurts you. If you are walking with God, you will know that that's not the problem. The problem is, how are you responding to that thing that they are doing to you? Amen. Because God is looking for sons. He's more concerned about the inward man, the activity, my response. Amen. There is no food. Praise God. How are you relating to God since there is no food? There is a lot of food to eat. How are you relating to God now that there is a lot of food? I remember a brother said, God tried us in adversity. It's very good to worship God when there is, you know, things are difficult, because, you know. But when the things are very, very good, that's when you measure. When a man doesn't know God, someone was reading, said the American children now, they have never seen World War. And many of us who don't know what the Nigerian Civil War looks like. Amen. They have never suffered any personal tragedy. Nothing really serious has happened to them or anybody around them. Life is rosy, 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 rosy. They feel they can control anything. If God loves them, he will put some tribulation. Amen. Because when there is tribulation, when there are judgments are in the earth, what happens? The inhabitants thereof will do what? Will learn righteousness. But what that means is that when there is no adversity, you pray and create one. Amen. Don't you understand? If your life is too rosy, rosy, go and say, God, can we create some adversity? Is that not in the Bible? When you say, oh Lord, search me, oh God, and show me my heart, you say, very good. So I can now create some adversity for you. You can take the exam and fail. Take the exam and fail. Or your mates are all commissioners. You are still teaching. Don't you understand what's going on? You say, God, judge my heart. He's judging your heart now. Amen. You come to the morning, see my mates are all over the place. I am in this small corner. Nobody knows about me. I wish you would wake up. Hallelujah. Amen. Because God is forming his son. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Okay, verse 11. And there stood before them 70 men of the ancients of the house of Israel. And in the midst of them stood so and so and so and so. And what are they doing? And a thick cloud of incense went up. And verse 12 says, Son of man, has thou seen what the ancients of the house of Israel do in the dark? Every man where? In the chambers of where? Of the mind. Chambers of the imagery. Chambers of the mind. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Are you troubled? Like I am troubled. Are you troubled that you are not walking with God in the dark places? Well, I hear it's good to walk in the high places, in the sunny places. But a brother, I think Austin Stark said that the measure of your strength is the measure of your response in the dark places. When you don't hear the voice of God, when there is no silver lining, everything is dark. That's where God tests your strength. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Is anybody in the dark place? Amen.
Amen.
I wish it would not be a place of the sunny places, the people of the sunny places. God is looking for sons, and He will bring those sons to these places, the chambers of the imagery. Now, if God is speaking about fullness, growing up to fullness, growing up to maturity, then it means we should be at these places where there is a measurement. Now, one of the things I want to touch before I go on is that he spoke about the ancients, the loins, the things that are deep down. Now, there is a teaching, a common teaching that we know now, where they say you go for deliverance. Okay? You pray this prayer and your past is destroyed. Amen. Well, we thank God for those brethren. But I think this scripture is saying differently. It's saying you have to dig. That means you have to walk with God, and God has to show you. Amen. You know, today is instant Christianity. 30 minutes prayer and all the problems are taken care of. But remember, a day with the Lord is like what? A thousand. You are the one in a hurry. God is not in a hurry at all. He is in a hurry to produce a son.
Amen.
Amen. And He will choose His sons in the place of affliction, in the place of darkness. So when next you run into a dry patch in your life, know that that's when you can be very close to God. When you are not even hearing or seeing or doing anything, know that those are the days when God is visiting you. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
When men say there is a casting down, in that same situation, you can do what? You can say there is a lifting up. You say, who passed through the valley of Baca? What did they do? Make it a well. You have to be in the valley first to make it a well. Praise the Lord. He said, turn ye yet again. He thought it was the same matter would have ended up. You have prayed and waved your hand. You've done everything. He said, no, it's not the end. Turn ye yet again. You know, in the dealings of God, we are often too much in a haste. Amen. And sometimes we run off before the matter is finished. I wish we'll be patient. We'll be patient. Say, turn ye yet again, and thou shalt see greater abominations than this. Amen.
Amen.
Then he brought me to the gate of the Lord's house, which was toward the north. And behold, there sat women weeping for Tammuz. Tammuz is the god of sex. It's the god of fertility. And the mind is the greatest sexual organ. Is the mind. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And most of the sexuality we see today is in the mind. It's in the mind. There are pictures. You know, you see them everywhere. Some are very, very obvious. Some are hidden. The internet, they have changed the policy, and the policy is that there must be these kind of pictures. Even with the normal news, they have decided that they must show those things. Amen.
Amen.
So whether you like it or not, you are going to see it. If you go to the media, You drive out on your street, you see it, and the decency level has dropped, I hope you know, with the coming of the homosexual revolution. People don't care anymore. So what does it matter? Because all the fear that people were having now is taken away. So you can just do anything you want. Now guess who is going to be the victim of that? It's the mind. Amen. And the Bible says, keep your heart with all diligence. For out of it are what? The issues of God. Amen. God is expecting you and I to overcome. There's a flood. I hope you know. There's a flood coming. And the flood is directed at the mind. This one is for whatever class you are, old or young, male or female. Now they even have in between gender. There's one last guy that came and said she's pangender. I mean, she has no gender. She's now pangender. Have you heard of that? But people, they know. Pangender. She's not a male or female. Even in between, she's not. And these are being promoted by the status quo, by the people, by the government of the day. He's telling you something, the spirit, brethren. He said women were weeping for Tammuz. It didn't start, it didn't end there. Even now, you see the heart of men desiring everything that is being done is being done with a tone of whoredom, of exposing, of doing so and so and so on. And the greatest victim is the mind. I remember Lot, the Bible said that his righteous soul was vexed. Are you vexed? Or are we comfortable? Amen. You know, where I come from, that's what they call tolerance. This man knows, he knows small about it too. Tolerance. Every day they give a little dose. What they're doing, they're desensitizing you so that you're no longer shocked. How many people are shocked? You feel shocked. You are really shocked. You run into your house and say, God, I can't take it anymore. Or say, well, it doesn't really matter. I'm going to Zion. Let me go to church today. Well, God is saying, you and I must be shocked. Our consciences must be sensitive to God. Because there is a working to dull the conscience. Amen. That the normal decency and the fear is taken away. You say, 100 men killed. It's on the news. Let me go and see them. We're no longer worried by 100 men killed. Eh? Before, one man killed should make everybody cry. Now, 100 men killed, yes? They have killed 6,000 before nothing happened. Why should I bother about 100 men killed? Don't you understand? There's something happening to the emotion. They're dead minutes. Amen. Hallelujah. And this Son of God must see like God sees.
Oh, hallelujah.
Amen. God says, I will not be deadened. Say, precious in the eyes of the Lord is the death of just one of his saints. Amen. How many of us are moved by the death of somebody? Huh? Amen. Or is it just a news item? Let's hear another one. Hallelujah. And then it goes on, verse 17. How that sin is, O Son of Man, is it a license to the house of Israel that they commit the abominations which they commit here? For they have what? Filled the land with violence. I have returned to provoke me to anger. And lo, they push the branch to the nose. Therefore I will deal in fury. Therefore I will deal in fury, and my eyes shall not spare, neither will I have pity. And though they cry in my ears with a loud voice, yet will I not hear them. Amen. May we not be among those who are making light these things. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Let's go to the next chapter. Now, this is dealing with our response. Amen. But chapter 8 talks about the state, what is happening. But 9 is speaking about the judgment and the response. Then he cried in my ears with a loud voice, saying, cause them that have charge over the city to draw near, every man with his destroying weapon in his hand. And behold, 6 men came from the way of the higher gate, we lie toward the north, and every man a slaughter weapon in his hand. And one man among them was clothed with linen, with a writer's ink on by his side. And they went in and stood where? At the brazen altar. Amen. Hallelujah. The brazen altar is that place of judgment. And it will be good for us to realize that there is such a thing taking place even now in the house. Amen. Look at verse 3. It says, and the glory of God was what? Gone up from the cherub. Amen. Whereupon he was, to the threshold of the house. That means it was almost on the way out. Hallelujah. Amen. And he called to the man clothed with linen, which had the writer's ink on by his side. And the Lord said, please watch that. Verse 4. Go through the midst of the city. Through the midst of MIS, of Zion, of whatever name you want to put there. And do what? Set a mark upon the mind, upon the forehead of the men that do what? That sigh and cry for all the abominations that be done in the midst thereof. Amen. So what should be my response? Why should I be doing those things? The Bible says, for the abominations that are done where? In the midst. Not in the midst of the temple. Because God is walking with you and He's telling you, dig in the wall. He says, yeah, examine yourself. Okay? So as you examine and you see those things, someone can say, well, I can never do well. That means you miss the point. But someone can say, well, I'm going to see God. I'm going to cry upon God. Deliver my soul, O God. Make a change, O God. Change my appetite. Cleanse my lips. Open my ears. Enlighten my eyes. Grant me discernment. Change me. Brethren, and I hope you will forgive me. Brother, would you forgive me? I don't seem to be hearing that cry amongst us. Don't be annoyed. Brother Julius, are you annoyed with me? Don't be annoyed now. But when I come, I don't seem to be hearing this cry. Sometimes I have the feeling that we are overtaken by these Pentecost people. There's trouble in the house. If there's no trouble, at least in my heart, I'm telling you, if you come, I can give you my list. There's trouble here, and we ought to. That song, my heart is crying inside. When did we sing it last? Yeah. Please don't be annoyed with me. Just pray for me that God will have mercy on me. Amen. But brethren, we ought to be crying. Amen. We ought to be in the sign. We should be in the signy place. In the green, you know, that we say, like, the man make it groanings with, that the spirit helpeth thy family with groanings that cannot be uttered. There's a place where the spirit can bring us to the place where we can wail and groan. Why are we doing that? Because of the abominations that we are now seeing. We thought they were not there. Amen. Yeah. But now we are seeing it. Amen. Yeah. And he says there is a ministry with the income. Amen. There is a ministry. You know, when the ministry comes, you can shut the door and it bounces back. Amen. Or you can open the door also. And the man comes in. Because he's coming for the mind. He has a hink on. He's going to make a mark. Amen. And remember, there are other ones, they have their slaughter weapons. So you are going, it's going to mark. And if we do not receive this ministry very well, that means we are not covered, we are not marked. And if you go to Revelation chapter 9, it said there were those locusts, said that they were sent against those who did not have the mark of God on their forehead. The scriptures are the same. Amen. The ministry of the word is the income. Amen. Now, I know people have a problem. I also have a problem. Now, a man can come and speak empty words. God didn't send him. You know, you understand? He can say, "Thus says the Lord," from here to that bank, come back. Empty words. But there is a ministry with an income that God is sending also. And it is your responsibility and my own to, he said, mark them that labor among you. What do you do? Amen. It's your responsibility to mark the ministries, the word, the right words that have come. Because the word that God sends to you has life. Because see, the words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. The word of God strengthens. Amen.
Amen.
When you are weak, when you hear the word of God, it brings strength. Because that word is not empty, it's loaded. Say, so shall my word be. Eh? That does what? That goeth forth. It shall not come back void. But it should accomplish. Because it is backed up by power, by strength, by resources. It's loaded. He said he will make bright clouds. So, we should be a people asking God to send this ministry to us. Not just corporately, but individually. Amen.
Amen.
That means my labor must be, I must be laboring to receive that ministry, to encourage that ministry. Amen. He said, my son, do not forsake the law of thy mother and the law of thy father. The law of thy mother is the ministry from the church, the testimony from the church. Amen.
Amen.
And the law of thy father is the word that your father speaks to you, that you must be hearing both. Amen.
Amen.
And those testimonies are there. And that is the ministry that is going to seal, that is going to put a mark and seal it, bring life and bring strength. And you know, the benefit of the seal is that when the sword comes, what happens? It will go over. Amen. I don't need to go and run over. If I am under the mark, the devil cannot do anything. Amen. So because he has set his love upon me, therefore will I. Amen. So he that dwelleth why? In the secret place of the Most High. So we are in a time where there are loose, a lot of arrows flying in the spirit. Is that consistent with scripture?
Yes.
There are arrows flying in the spirit. They are just going all over the place.
Yes.
Amen. If I did a blood test or something, they are flying over the place. They say you have so and so and so. And before you know it, you catch it and put it in your body, it has entered.
Amen.
Amen. But if we are strong in the spirit, we will arrest the arrow.
Yes.
Don't you understand? And you will say, this is not for me. Amen. Brethren, we can be strong in the spirit.
Amen.
God was speaking to me a word. I hope you also forgive me. You know, a man can be so weak in his spirit that every kind of spirit comes and enters his house. Brother, you know so? Yeah. Some folks are like that, we are so weak inwardly. God said that he might strengthen us with what? Strength in the word. In one man. Can't check it. The times when things are happening to you and when you are in your spirit, you are low, you are down, down, down. And God says, if your strength is small in the day of adversity, there's trouble. Oh. Amen. May the devil not find us in that kind of situation.
Amen.
Now, when he comes to me, I will be a strong man.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
You see that Jesus works great in the spirit. Are you ready before?
Yes.
So he grew in strength. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And had favor. I pray we will be strong in the spirit.
Amen.
There is such a thing as becoming strong in the spirit. Amen. So though the outward man is flourishing, but inwardly, the man is growing strong. The man is realizing who he is.
Amen.
I'm telling you, Jesus, as he began to grow, he began to understand who he was.
Amen.
And I have a feeling that that is happening to his younger brothers now. Don't you understand?
Amen.
Every day they are realizing who they are. Because they are realizing that there is a deposit that's within. Amen. And there is an awakening. There's a rising up. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And if you read down, it's the same story. But make no mistake about it, there is struggle. There are spirits that are being released every day that are coming. Say there are horsemen, thousands upon thousands, they are just coming. And they are galloping, they are just coming. Amen. And God, by doing that, is telling you, strengthen yourself. That's always the principle of God. When Esther went and met, said, there's a law, they said they should kill us. They said, no problem, I'll make another law, defend yourself. Do you understand? So when you see these things, God is telling you, rise up. You can be strong also. Amen. And the Bible says, if we are wrong with the footmen, and they wearied you, and they wearied me. What about, because the horses are coming. And brethren, we ought to see the horses. Amen. We can see. We can hear on the horizon, see something's happening. There are bad men that are getting into government in the world now. Very bad men. And they have money. They have money. They don't care for who you are. Don't you understand? Satan is their God. They worship the dark Lord. Do you understand? And you here, you better wake up. Even in Port Harcourt here, if you know the people that are in that House of Assembly, nobody will tell you that there is trouble. There is trouble. And God is saying, wake up the mighty men. Blow the trumpet in Zion. Let all the mighty men wake up. Wake up, wake up, wake up, wake up. There is trouble. Amen. Strengthen thyself. Put on thy garments of strength, O Zion. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Arise, arise. Get up from the dust. Amen. May the Lord visit us with that spirit of strength.
Amen.
That we will rise up.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And realize that there is an inward man. It is all about the inward man. The outward man is, the history is over. It is now the time of the inward man. Amen.
Amen.
And this man is being renewed in strength after the image of him that created him. Isn't that Ephesians? Amen.
Amen.
So we are of the circumcision that have no confidence in the flesh. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
He
said, though we have known Christ in the flesh, now knowing no man after the flesh. We are seeing the reality that's coming. And the reality is that he is coming with many thousands of his saints and with his brethren. Amen.
Amen.
Can we stand up and just sing this song? We need to strengthen ourselves. And I think we should just pray. We'll pray a little bit. So we are able to go up and take the country. To possess the land. You know, don't say Jordan to the CEO. You know your situation. You know what you are fighting. Amen. You are able to go up and possess. Amen. So only move on to the righteous side with the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. I learned a secret. When you rebuke a spirit, it runs from you. Many of us are too many Englishmen in this room. We are too civilized for the devil. We need to be violent with the devil, amen. When the spirit will say, yeah, rebuke it, it will run from you, amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Hallelujah. There is an energy that goes out from your heart and smites the devil. You won't see him again. Hallelujah. Bible says, let the weak say, I am strong. You need to say to yourself, I am strong. I am going to overcome. Jesus has made me an overcomer. He said, I am more than the conqueror. Amen. Hallelujah. We are able to go up and take the country and possess the land. Hallelujah. Amen. It's for you. Amen.
Go up and take the
country.